Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I think we all agree the Lord Jesus is worthy of our praise this morning. Almost every conversation I have had with those who have received their COVID vaccination winds up with the question, did you have a reaction? Right? I wanted to, it seems like a lot of churches today are having big symbols, object lessons, and I wanted to get like a 6-foot syringe to bring into church, but thought, they probably might scare some of the kids. It's been almost 4 weeks, actually it's been over 4 weeks since I had my second COVID vaccination with very mild symptoms. But after Easter, I went back to get my second single shingles shot, and that one got my attention. And it's kind of funny because back in January, I'd gone visited my doctor, and he'd said, you need to get your pneumonia shot, your flu shot, and your shingles shot, And then somewhere along there, you better get your second COVID vaccination. So I went to the pharmacist at Walmart, and I asked the pharmacist, I've got these 3 shots I'm supposed to be getting. How do you recommend I do that? And he said, I'd get them all at the same time. I go, hey, I'm right with you. Let's get this over with. Actually, I had very mild symptoms. Not much, a couple of chilled nights, but really nothing to talk about. Mild side effects, but really it wasn't bad at all. And it didn't stop me from doing anything, my routine. Even that second Moderna shot was really pretty easy for me to handle, except for a little soreness in the arm. I think most of us experienced that. But it was that second shingles shot that got me. I experienced some of the symptoms that they had been saying was part of the COVID vaccination, the injection pain, site pain, the fatigue, the headache, the muscle pain, fever, and the chills. It just kind of all came in that one time with that one shot. I was uncomfortable for about 48 hours, and this time it did put me in my place. Especially in my routine. About the only thing I could do, and maybe some of you have experienced that, is just endure it. I slept a lot and just waited until it would pass. Now let's think about that moment, that word, reaction. People have reactions to all kinds of things. Some people have reactions to certain drugs, anesthetics, latex. And some folks have pretty good reactions to, not good positive, to things like peanuts or shellfish and dairy products. Some folks have allergies to trees and shrubs and grass and are very familiar with antihistamines. The idea of allergy shots and antihistamines vaccinations is to replace those bad symptoms with a healthy response. And there's nothing better than to know you've prevented those sinus issues, that itchy, dry skin, even the symptoms of the COVID virus by simply getting the shot, taking the vaccination. But when we look at the first lesson in our text from Acts, we see a positive, strong and immediate reaction to the resurrection of Jesus. You see, our physical bodies are not the only things that are under attack in this world. Our souls are as well. Sadly, people in our generation worry more about the effects of those physical things than they do of their spiritual nature. Jesus came into the world to inoculate us from the sin that leads to death. And his inoculation is 100% effective. Scripture reminds us that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and it is sin that leads to death. The resurrection of Jesus is the proof of its effectiveness. So this morning I want to share with you three wonderful reactions that we can experience from our faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus and the injection of the Holy Spirit, which secures our life in God. In our first lesson, the Apostle Peter is preaching in the temple. He has just left a man who was born lame. He is now sharing with all who will listen that when we encounter the risen Christ, we can expect certain reactions. Let me say this another way. When we repent of our sins and receive God's Holy Spirit, then there are certain reactions we can expect to take place in our lives. The first reaction is that the disciples became helpers rather than takers. It wasn't by accident that Peter and John went to the temple that day, and it wasn't by accident that they had stopped by this crippled man. Here's how the reaction manifested itself. The Holy Spirit led Peter and John to the temple that day. The crippled man was right in place at the right time, and God was not only showing the people that were who were listening to Peter speak, and us right now listening, Peter and the disciples were all surprised by the reaction they had to the resurrection of Jesus. The reaction was this. It caused them to go from being takers to being helpers. They saw a man in need. But instead of passing him by, Peter says to him, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. You know, it's easy for us to think about our own pain, our own troubles, our own little worlds. It's easy for us to get a little self-centered about our own issues. However, one of the great reactions we experience when we are rescued and redeemed by the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit is that we become helpers and givers. We become people who focus not only on our own needs, but on the needs of others. You see this happening in the early church time and time again. For example, in Acts chapter 4, you see where the early church made it a part of their DNA to become servants and helpers. They gave what they had so that others might have their needs met. They took from their own resources and gave to those who didn't have any or who had limited resources. They didn't call their legislators, if there were any, and petition the government to help the needy. They acted in response to the resurrection of Jesus and the great love that God had shown to all mankind. I've seen this reaction in the church when resurrected hearts are presented with a need to help individuals and organizations in need. Can I just mention a few to you that I know you'll recall? Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, the O'Fallon Food Pantry, St. Vincent de Paul, Mosaic Crisis Pregnancy Center. And some would ask, well, why do we do that? Is it because we have nothing else to do? Is it because we have nothing else to spend our money on? No. It is just the supernatural response or reaction of being exposed to the risen Christ and having our hearts filled with His presence. It's a reaction of knowing and loving Jesus. It's a reaction of having the infilling presence of God, His Holy Spirit. I know that some of you visit local businesses more often than normal because you know that this business may shut down if not given support. I know that some of you visit restaurants and you give to your waiter or waitress way beyond the 15 or 20% tip. Why? Because you've had the Holy Spirit whisper into your ear that the person serving you is struggling. Becoming a giver and a helper is a reaction that you have had because you have been blessed by God who has saved you. Let me tell you of an opportunity you have to react to the risen Christ this morning. Today we are praying for someone to become the Vacation Bible School director this summer. Also, our Christian Ed Committee is a group of dedicated Sunday school teachers, and they've been praying for people to serve as Sunday school teachers. These are not positions for everyone. These positions require a heart for helping our young people in their faith. We're not looking just for people to fill a spot, but maybe, just maybe, the Spirit of God is speaking to you this morning about that. Being touched by the nail-scarred hands of Jesus, who overcame death and the grave for us, brings about a natural reaction. Is God working a reaction where you can help, where you can give? The second reaction of the disciples to the resurrected Christ is that they became open witnesses rather than silent witnesses. The Apostle Peter, we find here in Acts chapter 3, is a far cry from the Peter that we saw in Luke chapter 22. Peter was a witness in Luke chapter 22, but not the kind of witness that anybody would want to have for them, or even serving in church leadership. That Peter is the one who was loudly denying the Lord. That's the one who wanted to be as far away from Jesus as possible. That is one who wants nothing to do with Jesus in that moment. But in our passage this morning, we find Peter eager to share who was behind this miracle. He doesn't take credit for the healing of the crippled man, but uses the miracle as a way of sharing the good news about Jesus. His whole focus is on Jesus and what it means to be rescued and redeemed. Now think about this for a moment. We all know that Peter could be a little self-serving and arrogant and kind of full of himself. We all know that Peter liked it when the attention was centered on him, especially when it was in a good situation. Could there have been a better situation for Peter to take hold of the credit as they were healing a man on their way to the temple? Wow. You can't get any more pious than that, can you? Talk about having the perfect opportunity to focus all the attention on oneself. What better opportunity to have all the crowds focus on your ability to do miracles? But that's not what we see happening here. Peter focuses on his Christ. Peter focuses on those around him hearing the gospel of Jesus. Peter focuses on them coming to faith. What happened? What changed in this man's life? Again, was it not the resurrection power to which he had this reaction? Was it not the injection of and the filling of the Holy Spirit that brought about this incredible reaction? Instead of focus, the focus being upon him, the focus was on sharing Jesus. Peter's reaction to the infilling presence of the risen Lord made him a witness to Jesus. And certainly not a silent one. You and I are here this morning because someone had a reaction to the risen Christ, and they took the time to share with us the message of salvation. It might have been a pastor. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. It might have been an evangelist, a parent, or a friend. But it happened because someone reacted to the infilling presence of Jesus, and they shared that message of salvation with us. And we got it. Like you, I am looking at the problems in our day and wondering how much more suffering our nation and our world will have to suffer before the church gets motivated to become helpers and witnesses to Jesus' triumphant resurrection and his victory over death. Friends, the world was turned upside down by Christ's resurrection, and the church grew daily when it became aware of her calling to become helpers and witnesses. If Christ can overcome death, can we not believe that he can bring salvation to this period of time in our history? The good news is not a message of condemnation. It's a message of salvation. It's not a message of doom and gloom, but a message of how we were rescued and redeemed, so that even now we and those we help and witness to can live an abundant life in Christ. Helpers is how we react to the risen Christ. Witnesses is the second way we react to the risen Christ. But the final one is a little bit different. The last reaction is one that comes as a result of the continuing work of the risen Christ. Now, one of the things that has come out about the COVID vaccine studies is that they're trying to determine just how long the vaccine will last. Will we need to get a booster shot every year, like we do with the annual flu shot? Or do we need to get a booster shot maybe once every 10 years, like they suggest with tetanus? One of the things that you'll notice very quickly in the Bible is that we all need those booster shots from the Holy Spirit. We need to be constantly infilled more and more of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Why? I think we know why. Life can be hard. Even life in Christ. Life can throw a great deal at us. Sickness, heartache, money issues, family problems, work issues, persecution. And y'all know we're not home yet. This earth is an amazing place, but its current condition is not our home yet. This earth is not the new heaven or the new earth. We are waiting for that day when Jesus will come and time will be no more. We are still waiting for the day when all evil will be removed forever. You see, the power of sin has been broken, but it hasn't been removed. We still live in a world where people listen to evil and participate in evil things. We still live in a world in which the devil, even though he's been defeated, is still trying his best to lie, to kill, to steal, and destroy. That's exactly where the early church found itself in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John had been arrested by the temple authorities. They had been told never to speak the name Jesus again. They were threatened that if they did, if they continued to speak about Jesus, they would be harmed. But not only that, that anyone who else would speak of Jesus would be harmed as well. So what did they do? They got a booster shot, and Satan's deadly attacks were held at bay. Satan could not stop Jesus. He could not stop Jesus from coming to earth. He could not stop Jesus from teaching the gospel. He could not stop Jesus from paying the penalty of our sin. He could not stop Jesus from destroying the power of sin. He could not stop Jesus from the resurrection, the ascension, or Pentecost. He could not stop the disciples from gathering together. He could not stop the disciples from praying. And he could not stop them from being infilled with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God became their booster shot that kept them safe throughout their lives. Oh yes, Satan could do everything he could to make them afraid. He could lie to them and tell them that he was still in control of the earth. He could lie to them and tell them that he was still more powerful than the Lord, and that after the resurrection, nothing had really changed. Them nor creation. That is when the church did the smartest thing it could ever do. They immediately went to the Lord. They prayed. They daily reconnected themselves fully to the will and way of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In effect, they allowed the Holy Spirit to give them a booster shot. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us that the place was so full of the Holy Spirit that it shook. That it shook them and the ground around them. And they were filled with power and with courage. They were ready to go out and allow what happened to them affect their world. The very atmosphere they lived in, worked in, and shared in. My friends, it's been 2 weeks since we celebrated Easter Sunday. Do we have a reaction? Maybe you have noticed the change, but today you've just been worn down by life. The disciples had to wait for the day of Pentecost to receive their booster. But that day has come and it is gone, but not without effect. You don't have to make an appointment to receive this booster. Today and every day, you can ask the Holy Spirit, and He will give it to you. He will fill us anew. He will shake our lives and the places where we live and where we work. Like Peter, He will make a difference in us so that we can always be known as people who share and give without looking to our own advantage. A people who react by being active messengers or witnesses of Jesus. And finally, He will make us a people who react daily by asking for the infilling power and the presence of God. Do you have a reaction to the risen Christ? Don't be afraid of it. It's 100% effective. And if we continue to receive the booster that He longs for each one of us along life's way, He will, as He has promised, continue to work in us and in our world for our good. And the world needs God's goodness. Let us wait on Him. He will provide what we need. And the reactions that come will be His gift to His church, to the world. To God alone be glory. Amen.